In our traveling truth through the truth, we come back to Exodus chapter number 20. I know you think we're never going to get out of here, but we will. We will get out of here. We've been dealing with the Ten Commandments, and that's not something that you really deal with that quick, I don't guess. The importance of it is seen in the fact, as we said this morning, that it was written in stone by the finger of God Himself. So that in its own adds a great weight to it, in my opinion, amen. And so it behooves us to write these upon the tables of our heart and remember them, amen. Now we come tonight in verse number 16 to the ninth commandment, which simply says this, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, what we often say in our modern English language is this, it just simply ought not tell a lie. We narrow it down, we bring it down to simple lying. Not just simply bearing false witness, it is that of telling a lie, and it's not as plain, cut, and dried as it might seem. We find in the Scripture that it's wide and it's varied. And so we find tonight that the theme of this commandment is simply the shame of a liar, the shame of lying. And the violation of this commandment here brought a just and an equal punishment. We find that violation of some of these commandments brought death. Many of them brought death, and some required restitution. Some required retribution. Amen. And so this commandment is a warning against a false insinuation about somebody. Amen. You don't have to just come out and tell an absolute falsehood in order to be telling a lie. You can just insinuate somebody, and so the way that you say something wind up bearing a false witness. Did you know that? It's not quite as cut and dried as we often think it is. But I want us to look for a moment in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, and look what God said about the violation of this commandment, first of all, what it brought. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 15 through 21. Deuteronomy 19, verses 15 through 21. The Bible says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." In other words, God says, don't take one man's word for something whenever he brings an accusation against somebody else. The Bible says in the New Testament not to receive an accusation against an elder. You must have two witnesses, amen. You can't just have one talebearer running around. He said there must be two or three. "If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, and eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot." So what's he saying here? This violation of this commandment brings an equal just judgment or retribution. In other words, if somebody came and made accusation against someone with reference to murder, they say, "I saw old Hunter murder John Brown down there by the post office," the judges stood before God and they gave diligent inquisition into that matter. They came to find out that Hunter didn't kill John Brown, then guess who's going to pay the penalty? The old boy that started the rumor and the false witness against his brother. Now, I want to tell you, whenever that's in effect, it's going to keep lying down to a minimum. Amen. And so there was a just and equal penalty that was brought upon the individuals in the nation for the violation of this commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother. And so, it make you think twice about what you do, amen. And so, I want us to consider just for a moment here as we begin tonight, the definition of a lie. What is a lie? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary. It's a good place to go sometime. It simply said this. It's an untrue statement made with intent to deceive. You see, there's a motivation behind it. There's an intent behind it. It's not an accidental thing, amen. Somebody can simply be wrong in the matter and not be a lie, amen. I've been wrong many times myself. Had to change my mind, had to change my opinion. But a lie is one when somebody makes a statement with an intent to deceive or to hurt somebody. And so you see, the sin of bearing false witness or lying is an insinuation about somebody else that damages their reputation. Amen. That damages their reputation. But I tell you, it's easier to find somebody that'll believe a lie than it is to find somebody who'll believe the truth. Now, I could shout the truth from the rooftop here tonight, and it probably wouldn't get to Highway 53. But if we was to start a big lie tonight, that thing would beat us to downtown Gulfport before we could get down there. You'd find a multitude of people who are willing and ready to believe it. But very few people today want to hear the truth, do they? Amen. I turn on the television and all you get on there is a bunch of lies, amen. I like a true story once in a while. Outside of that, everything just about that you see is a lie. You can't even trust what the newsmen say because they're more opinionated than anybody in the world, amen. It's hard to trust the politician. They run for office and say, if you'll just put me in there, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And 4 years later, he hadn't done a thing he said he'd do hardly. Amen. And so we live in an age, my friend, where people are accustomed to lying. You go to buy a car, you better be careful. Somebody's going to lie to you. Amen. I ain't saying they're all that way, but it'd be hard to find one that ain't. Amen. And that applies to everything. There's always somebody, young people, that's willing to take your dollar by telling you a lie. Amen. And so a lie is simply an untrue statement made with an intent to deceive somebody for some reason. And we'll deal with a few of those in just a minute. So let's talk about some examples of how a lie may be defined in our modern society and even as it is in the Scripture. Amen. First of all, a lie can be defined as simple perjury. Now, if you're called down to the courthouse next week to testify before a case that's there, they're going to get you to take an oath before you get on that stand, amen. All right, they used to. I guess they still do, amen. I'm sure that they do. They did when I was on jury duty. And they say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Don't know why they bring him in. There's always one side's lying. You ever notice that? I used to watch the People's Court with old Judge Wapner. And I'd sit there and listen to that. And then I'd say, somebody's lying. They both can't be telling the truth. Somebody's lying. Amen. Well, lying under an oath is perjury. Amen. Perjury is violation of an oath that you have made. You have sworn to tell the truth, and if you don't tell the truth, amen, then you're committing what is known as perjury, and there's a penalty that goes for perjury. You'll not only receive probably a good fine, but you just might get some jail time about it, depending on the seriousness of the trial that you happen to be involved in. And so perjury is a very serious crime. Now, if you look in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and verse 2, we'll see an example of that. I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 30 and verse number 2. Moses speaks unto the tribes here as they approach the land, and listen to what he said. Verse number 2, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. He's saying whenever a man takes a vow, whenever a man takes an oath, he'd better do what he said, amen. Now let me tell you what a vow consisted of in the Old Testament many times. A vow involved giving or paying something, amen. It ain't the fact that a fellow just simply promises to do something many times in the Old Testament, although sometimes it is, but most of the time it involved the giving of something. Here's a man in the northern part of Israel and God's blessed him. And boy, he's got one out of every 10 animals set aside for his tithe to give to the Lord when he goes down to Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, his flock just increases so much, he got nowhere to put everything. God just blessed him beyond all he could think about. Amen. He looks down there and sees one of the prettiest calves, one of the prettiest bullocks, one of the prettiest goats he got. Said, God, I want to tell you something. You've been so good to me, I'm going to give you that pretty thing whenever I go down to Jerusalem. And he vows a vow to give that thing to the Lord. God said, when you vow something unto him, you be sure that you pay it. Amen. If you do not pay it, then it's perjury. And I can show you in the scripture where that God said, if you fail to pay a vow, you not only return that vow, but you do it with interest. Amen. And so perjury is a very serious crime. But people commit it every day whenever they go to court. Amen. Watch the O.J. trial. It's hard to tell honest people from the liars, ain't it? I mean, I'm already so confused about what's going on. Perjury is a very serious violation of this commandment. But perjury is not only an example or definition of lying, but slander is also. Now, what is slander? Slander is simply a false report to injure the reputation of somebody else. It's whenever you say something to damage or to tear down the reputation of your neighbor or somebody that you know. Amen. I know a lot of people, the only way that they make themselves feel big in this world is by putting somebody else down. And so rather than my friend standing upon their own accomplishments and their own deeds, they'll put somebody else down for what they've done in order to make themselves look better. Now, that's simple slander, amen. False report to injure the reputation of somebody else. Now, I want to tell you something. Reputation is something external. Inside, you have what is called character. Nobody can damage your character. Only one that can change your character is you. Amen. You're the only one that can change that. But your reputation, anybody can damage. That it's a fragile, very, very sensitive thing. And so that's why God said you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor. For in so doing, you tear down his reputation. Now, I want to tell you something. You can leave here tonight and go tell a lie about Donnie Murphy, or I could do the same for you. And I want to tell you, I can't just go out there and correct that error as easy as it was initially told. Why? Because for some reason people are more prone to accept and believe a lie than they are the truth. And so, neighbor, all you got to do to destroy somebody's reputation is just start to circulate a bunch of lies about them. And you're going to find most people are going to believe it. And that's called slander. Amen. And the Bible warns about those things. Now look in the book of Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse number 36. Now, what's happened here, God has commanded the men of Israel to go into the land in Numbers 13. They went in, spied it out, and they didn't go. They outvoted Joshua and Caleb. Told Moses, we ain't going because there's just too many giants in that land, and we can't take it. Now, I want you to look here in Numbers 14:36 is what they say. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him. How? By bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Now, what did they do? What's it saying here that these individuals did? When they came back in order, my friend, to be prepared to face old Moses, who was the man of God and who was strong, in order to be ready to have an effectual argument with him, they began to slander him and tear down his reputation. You know how many times they would say, Moses, why have you brought us out here to die in this wilderness? Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you could let us die there? And so they began a slanderous report. And so because they didn't want to go into the land that ten, they began to slander Moses as they went around and said, you know, this guy's trying to kill us. And so when it came time for him to go to that land, they said, we ain't going. The majority of them did. They brought a slander up against Moses. You know what happened? Well, you just read the next verse there, didn't you, with me? They died. They died. And so the Bible is very plain and very vehement about somebody who slanders somebody else. It's an evil and a wicked thing. The psalmist wrote about it in Psalm 101 and verse 5. Psalm 101 verse 5. Listen. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He said, whosoever is a slanderer, he will cut off. Amen. Why? Because you destroy somebody's reputation, my friend. You've done a harm to them that may not ever be able to be repaired. The only way to correct something that when you have been slandered, to set the record back straight, my friend, is to produce enough evidences and proof and work to counteract that thing. And it is no easy task to do, I can assure you, amen. And even then, I'm not sure that there'll not be some people who will continue to believe the slanderous lie. Amen. Amen. We might say that another definition in violation of this commandment might be simple gossip. Amen. Well, now, preacher, it ain't gossip if it's the truth. Gossip is never published publicly. Gossip is said in secret behind closed door with one in ten. That's to harm somebody else. To destroy their reputation, to bring them down in order that you might look better. Amen. And so gossip might be termed a violation of this commandment, because, my friend, there's intent to always injure another and to make yourself look better. Amen. And the Bible in many places warns against gossip. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18 and verse number 8, he talks about it. Proverbs 18 and verse number 8, he said there, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Amen. What's he say? You ever heard the old expression, people swallowing a lie? Boy, they swallowed the lie. That's what he's talking about, my friend. You let somebody go around being a talebearer, you can be sure of one thing, that's he'll be able to find somebody who will believe it. Now in chapter number 20 and verse 19 of Proverbs, it said this, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Amen. Going about telling secret things that ought not be heard, amen. Just because something's the truth don't mean I ought to be spouting off about it. Amen. Amen. Know a lot of dirty things that are going on that are true, but neighbor, I don't want folks hearing such talk. Amen. They ought not be said, but yet people get behind closed doors and gossip about such things. Not only that, they'll gossip about one another. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul had a problem in the New Testament church. I was reading this evening. He was writing Timothy in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. He was talking about accepting widows in the church. Now, let me explain to you what they did there. In the early church, they took care of the widows. Widows indeed. Now, what's the widow indeed? A widow indeed is a woman that lost her husband and she has no children, nobody to care for her. If you're a widow and you've lost your husband, but yet you have sons, those sons are commanded by the law to take care of you. And so Paul says they should take care of them. But if there's a widow indeed, has nobody to take care of her, the church ought to take care of her. Amen. And that's what they did. But he said, I want to warn you about certain widows, about certain young widows, about letting them into the church. In verse number 13, he says, and withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Why? Because they're speaking these things to injure the reputation of somebody else. Amen. They're saying things not to build up or to edify. You ever notice that gossip is not about building somebody up and bragging about them? Amen. It's about tearing somebody down always. And so, my friend, that intent would be found in that law that says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not do anything to hurt his reputation or to bring him down before somebody else. Another form of lying, false witness, we might say is a flattery, false flattery. Amen. Boy, sometimes you see this on the job. What is flattery, false flattery? It's simply lying to get gain, to get something out of somebody. Amen. Just simply trying to get something out of somebody. Now, only Elihu, whenever he was talking to Job, he had a pretty wise saying about that. In Job chapter 32 and verse number 21, listen to what he said. Job 32 and verse 21. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person neither let me give flattering titles unto man. The Apostle Paul, when he went to Thessalonica to preach, we read about it this morning in Sunday school, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, I didn't come unto you with flattering words. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 5, he said, For there is one God. I'm sorry, that's 1 Timothy. I'm looking for 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. He said this. He said, For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Now, what provoked him to say this? Some people were accusing Paul of preaching the gospel in order to get something out of somebody. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said, hey, he who preaches the gospel ought to live of the gospel. He ought to be supported by the gospel. But he said, lest I bring some kind of accusation against the church, he said, I worked with my own hands. Everywhere that I went, I was chargeable to no man. Amen. What's he saying? He said, I didn't use flattering words and going and trying to get something out of somebody as I went preaching the gospel. Amen. Would to God that we had some folks like this today. Amen. We got a lot of folks today that are preaching using flattering words because that's what they're after is a dollar. Amen. And it's a violation of this commandment. These flattering words are lying to get gain. Amen. Get something out of somebody. Building somebody up in order to win their allegiance in order that you might be able to get something out of them. But you know what? Another form of breaking this commandment would simply be silence. Silence. You're somewhere and you hear a lie about somebody. And you just keep quiet. You don't say nothing. You're just as guilty. Amen. 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 Ought to say, now listen, I know him. And that ain't so. I was there. And it ain't true. So you need to just quit telling your lies. Well, we don't like to do that because it don't make you very popular. But I want to tell you something. One of the greatest sins of the church today is silence. We allow things to happen around us and sin to accumulate, and we never ever say a word. Amen. Amen. We need some Christians on the job that have some convictions and have the backbone to stand up for what they believe and let it be made known. Now, you may not make many friends. You may even make a few enemies, but I'm not really sure about that. And many folks may not have much to do with you. But honey, you ain't gonna have to worry about no trash once you do that and you take a stand. But I want to tell you, the problem is we got too many cussing Christians, too many filthy joke-telling Christians, too many lying Christians working on the job today, too many Christians that are going down to the casino telling everybody that they're going to heaven when they like going down there and fellowshipping with the devil.
Amen.
That's a lie. Silence can be one of the most effectual methods of condoning a lie that we see. Amen. Amen. Pilate could have delivered Jesus. All he had to do was say the words, but he didn't. He tried to push it off on somebody else. Amen. That's right. And so, whenever something comes up that we say or we think is wrong, according to the Word of God, we ought to let somebody know. Amen. When you disagree with some bill that's before Congress, you ought to write your congressman and say, hey, I don't agree with that. And this is why I don't agree with it. Because it's downright immoral and ungodly, whatever reason you've got. But my friend, to just sit back, you see, that's the problem today. We've reached a state of apathy in this nation. And that's one of the latter stages in the decline of a nation is simple apathy. What is that? That's where people say, well, it don't do no good to vote. It don't do no good to say anything. So I'm just going to be quiet and hang on and ride this raft down the rapids. Amen. And so we ought to become a vocal group. We were for years on this coast and there were no casinos. Amen. People of God voiced their opinion. They got up and voted. But one day we got lazy. And we didn't do that. Because, see, people said, if we just do this, money will come rolling in on them waves. Amen. Yeah. And a lot of money has come in. Don't lie about that. And now the casino ain't affect me one bit because I don't have to go. But that don't make it right. That don't make it right. Because somewhere along the line, you've got to draw a distinct line that says this is moral and right, and this is immoral and not right. Amen. And one of our presidents, I forget which one it was, if it was Lincoln or who, he said the only thing that has to happen for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And so, neighbor, let the church be silent, not say anything, and you can look for the devil to take over. If you don't take a stand for something in this church, then the devil will walk in there and he'll take over from you. Amen. Somebody's got to speak, not be silent. Listen to what God told Isaiah, the people of Israel, through Isaiah. He said, I've set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Don't be silent, amen. Nicodemus was a disciple of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Christ in secret. But brother, after Calvary, they weren't. They came out boldly. I want to tell you, you can be a secret Christian, but you can't be one very long, because it's going to come out of you, amen. And that living power that's within you, when put in a certain position, can't help but burst forth, amen. You won't be silent anymore, amen. Now, that's kind of what we might say lying is, the definition of a lie. But now let's follow development of a lie. I mean, they don't just spur up. I mean, I know some people who were that way. But usually a lie begins to develop. Some are even planned. Now, I got to thinking about this, and I can only find two basic reasons why a man tell a lie. Number one, he's afraid. He's afraid. He's a coward. Amen. Mama comes in. Johnny, did you break that glass? It had nothing to do with it. Johnny, you sure you didn't break that glass? Don't know a thing about it. Why is he lying? Because he's afraid that mama's going to get a hold of him. Amen. 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 Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I was pretty good at it. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I feared being got a hold of. When I got a hold of, I was got a hold of. I wasn't got a hold of too many times before I found out that the biggest getting a hold of you'll ever get on you is for lying. My daddy hated a liar, and I do too. And honey, I was one. And a lot of times I lied simply because I was afraid. Amen. Another reason that a man might tell a lie is to get gain. Amen. Man say, now listen, I bought this for a certain amount and I'll sell it to you for this amount. I'll take a loss, I'll do this, I'll do that. You go buy a used car, that man's paid a certain amount. He's going to tell you this, tell you that. Here it is, he's going to try to get that top dollar, because the more above what he paid for it, the more what he's going to get. And so a man might tell a lie to get gain. Amen. But that's the only two reasons I can think of. Matter of fact, in the book of Jude, I believe it is, he talks about these people in verse number 16. Jude, listen to what he says. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words. Listen, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Why? They wanted to get something out of somebody. Amen. A lot of people today will tell a lie because they're trying to get something. And it's hard to find folks anymore that want to just do honest work, amen. They want to find some way to get out of work and to get something for nothing. Amen. Amen. Every person that accepts a welfare check that can work and won't get out and work, he's lying to get gain. Amen. Amen. So how does a lie develop? First of all, it has to have a source. It has to have a source. And what is that source? Amen. I'll tell you who it is. His old name is Satan. If you look in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, the religious crowd of the day. John chapter 8 and verse 44, and I want you to listen to his description of them. He said, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Now, what were those things? He was a murderer from the beginning, now look at this, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Why? Because listen, for he is a liar and the father of it. What's the source and inspiration for a lie? The devil. Old Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Amen. He can't make you do it, but he can be the source of the inspiration for you to do something. Amen. And so the source for a lie is simply found in the devil. He was a liar, God said, Jesus said, and he was the father of it, thereby meaning that every lie that's bred in this world is bred because he was the daddy of it. He's the source of it, amen. And so, somebody says they're a Christian and they lie, they sure have a wrong way of identifying with him, amen, because they're identifying with the father of lies. Well, Christians don't lie. Well, we just might see about that before we get through. Amen. The source of the lie is the devil himself. Where did he lie? Well, first of all, he lied in heaven. If you look in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible talks about him there. And I want you to listen to what he said when he was there. In Isaiah 14 in verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, that's where that lie begins. What did he say? He said, I'll ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. God said, that's what you said. But look at the next verse. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. You know what the devil did? When God revealed His plan of creation for the future, Satan was lifted up in his own pride in himself, and he slandered God. So much so that Revelation chapter 12 says that he carried one third of the stars of heaven with him. The angels of God he carried with him. How did he do that? He was so convincing about what I just read you, about him exalting himself above God, defeating the purposes of God, even being God, my friend, that they believed him and they followed him, and thus they were cast out with him. Amen. He lied in heaven. Said, I'll ascend. God said, you go down. A lie is always the very opposite of what God has to say. He lied in heaven. He was the father of lies. But then he lied in Eden. He appeared in chapter number 3 and he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Eve said, yeah, we can eat of all the trees but one, that tree there in the midst, that knowledge of good and evil. He said, you not eat it nor touch it. He didn't say nothing about touching it, but it'd probably be a good idea not to touch it, lest you die. Satan came back and said, ye shall not surely die. He lied. And as soon as they partook of that fruit, the Bible says their eyes were opened. And they were open to a realization that you and I need to realize that we're sinners. That realization caused them to run from God and hide in the trees in the garden. Why? Because they believed the devil's lie. He's the father of it. So, my friend, the source of a lie doesn't come from above. It comes from below. It comes from the devil. Every lie has its source. So all liars, my friend, have identified themselves with somebody that ain't God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. Amen. And so when you meet a man that's a liar, yet he tries to convince you that he knows God and that he's a Christian, honey, there's something wrong, amen, for the source of his lying is his father. And that's what Jesus said. You're of your father, the devil. You're trying to kill me. I've done nothing wrong. I'm innocent, but yet you want to kill me and you tell lies about me to get it done. The Bible said that they couldn't get enough evidence to crucify Jesus. They brought up false witness after false witness. They even disagreed, and finally they got two to agree according to the law, and they were able to crucify Christ. So Jesus knew good and well where they came from. He said, you ain't nothing to do with God. You're of your father the devil because you're liars. Amen. Liar. Devil's the source of them. But now let's follow the course of a lie. Where does it go? What does it do? Well, the first thing that it does is that it deceives others. Because you're telling a lie trying to make somebody else think that you're something that you're not. Now, in James chapter 3, boy, he had a lot to say about this as to do with the tongue. He said it set on fire the course of nature, and it was set on fire itself of hell. James chapter 3 and verse number 8, listen to what he said. He said, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Now listen. He said, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Amen. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Amen. He said, a man that blesses God one minute and cusses the next minute and tells a lie, my friend, there's something wrong with him. He is deceiving somebody else, amen. He's sure not telling the truth, is he? He's professing to be something one minute and then revealing himself to be something else the next minute. Therefore, it's not true. Therefore, it's a lie, amen. So the first course that a lie takes is that it deceives others. That's exactly what a hypocrite is. Jesus was the first to use that word. Amen. He used it in Matthew 23 over and over again, speaking to the religious people of the day. Why? Because they covered themselves on the outside with a certain portrait, amen, and a certain dress. But he said, inside, my friend, they were like a sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Why? Because they were portraying one thing to the world, but they were something different, amen. That's nothing but sheer hypocrisy. Therefore, hypocrisy is a simple lie. And when somebody professes to be a Christian, but yet, my friend, they cuss one minute, they tell a lie another minute, they're telling a lie to the world, trying to deceive them, make them think they're something else. I know people that act like Christians when they're around Christians, and they act like the devil's crowd when they're around them. That ain't nothing but a chameleon, a lizard that changes his color just as he goes, amen. Has absolutely no consistency about him, therefore it's a lie. And that's exactly what a course of a lie does. It deceives others. Not only that, it deceives yourself. It deceives himself, an individual. Now, I got to thinking about this in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The Apostle John made a couple of statements here, and we see this quite often in the church. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Man says that you listen. Boy, I've heard people say, "Hey, I'm saved. I'm ready for the Lord to come. I'm ready to go." But they live like a hellion. He said right here, you say you have fellowship with God, you know God, but you walk in darkness. He simply made it plain. He said, you lie. Amen. You're lying. And you do not the truth. Look over here in verse number 8. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. The course of a lie is this. First of all, it begins deception upon other people, but before it's through, it begins to deceive the man himself. Here's a man that says that he has fellowship with God and he walks in darkness and then he says he hadn't got any sin. Amen. He's a liar. He doesn't know the truth. Amen. But a man knows the truth. He knows exactly what sin is and knows exactly what he is. Now, I know some people in the church that say that they're perfect, say they hadn't sinned in years. I'll tell you right quick, that's a lie. Amen. If they hadn't told a lie in 10 years, they just told one when they said that. So that knocked out that perfection, amen. They don't have any knowledge of what it is. Let's let somebody walk around and follow them a little bit, amen. What you're saying when you say that you're perfect is that you have a very limited knowledge of what sin really is. Amen. James said, if you want to see a perfect man, you find a man that's able to control his tongue. Amen. It's hard to find one or a woman. Amen. He said, you want to say you have no sin, you're a liar. You're a liar. If you don't think you have any sin, that's sure something wrong with you. Why would you do that? Just like I said before, you're trying to deceive somebody else. And ultimately, it'll begin deceiving you. Amen. You better be sure. It's not good enough just to believe in something. You must believe the truth. So the course of the lie leads to deception. But then, what's the force of a lie? Where does a lie get its strength? Well, in the book of Colossians, we know that the source of it is the devil. But what is the force of it, the strength of it? In Colossians chapter number 3, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what the apostle said. Let me get in the right book here again. Chapter 3 and verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, being we've got saved and we put the old man off, we're not living under that new nature, that old nature we used to have. Don't be telling lies to one another. That did seem very juvenile to you, that an apostle as great as Paul, his time and his words very valuable because they're inspired of God, yet he has to write in the Word of God that Christians ought not lie to one another. Why? Because they put off the old man. You quit living that way. You don't live the same way when you get saved. Not to stay saved, not to get saved, but because you've been saved, bless your heart. You don't want to do what's wrong whenever you're a child of God. So he said, don't lie to one another. The force of a lie is the old man. The old nature likes to lie. It grieves the new man to lie. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God convicts that new man. He can't touch that old man. He got nothing to do with him. In contrary, they're at enmity with one another. But boy, he convicts that new man. So you know what? In order for you to lie, for a Christian to lie, you got to pick up the old man and put him back on. And go over here and flap his gums. Then he go back and take off the old man and lay him down and act like he's a Christian now. Oh, well, you can lie to Christians, put on that old man. And you can do it. He is strong. Therefore, the Bible says he has to be crucified. That's a violent, brutal death. And that's exactly what it takes to kill him. A lot of us Christians want to push and say, now get on, old man. Don't be bothering me now. You know I'm a nice little wimpy Christian. Honey, he needs to be brutalized and crucified and put in that grave and kept there. Because if we don't, you know what will happen? We'll lie. Oh, well, that doesn't happen to Christian people. Yes, it does. In Acts chapter 5, there was an individual who joined the first church of Jerusalem. And as the church formed, people sold their goods and brought them to the apostles for distribution among the saints as the body came together in the community. And two people came. In verse number 1 of Acts 5, a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold their possession also like everybody else was doing and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it or knowledgeable about it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan, remember the source of a lie, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. These two people were saved people. Amen. God wouldn't have killed them. But you see, they saw what everybody else was doing. And said, boy, you know, that's the Christian thing to do. We ought to do that.
And so they went and they sold their possession, whatever it was, and said, "Boy, you know, I didn't know we was going to get that much money for that thing. You know, we need to just keep this because we can pay J.C. Penney with this and we'll give the rest." And there wouldn't have been a thing in the world wrong with it. Not a thing in the world. Peter and them would have been glad to get it. But they had to lie about it. And they came and they said, "We sold such and such for this amount. Here, we're going to give it all to you," in order to make themselves appear to be something that they're not. And that's what a lie does. Peter said, "You hadn't lied to men. You lied to God. You lied to God." People lie to God all the time. Amen. Amen. Boy, they get saved and they come to know God and say, "God, I'm gonna serve you. God, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to straighten my life out." You let one little thing that displeases them pop up and they'll revert and do everything that they said they wasn't going to do and stop doing things they said they would do. Amen. "God, I'm going to tithe. God, I'm going to give you my money. But I don't like the way that preacher preaches, so I ain't giving it." Well, you just lied to God. See, I want to tell you something. I may change. You will probably change. But God never changes. Amen. A lot of people lie to God and say that they're going to do something for Him. They never do it. And honey, if it was like it was in this day in the early church when people dropped dead, there wouldn't be much of it going around, would they? But you see, people lie because they think they can get away with it. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could get away with it. And people lie today, they think they can get away with it. Nobody will be the wiser, amen? Nor who would lie to expose their own shame to the world, the shame of lying? Nobody would do that. So obviously, whenever they lie, they think that they can get away with it. Amen. Now, let's look at the destruction of a lie. The effect that it has whenever a lie goes forth. First thing that it does, it divides fellowship. Amen. Miss Zan goes to Sister Charlize. Says, "I saw Sister Sylvia down at the package store." Now, you've done divided two against one. You've isolated this one. I know that's extreme. Very hypothetical, I'm sure. But you divided that fellowship right there. But you see, as extreme as that is, that's not the way that it goes. All you need to do is insinuate something. One guy says, "Boy, old Donnie preached a pretty good message the other night. I don't hear that much anymore after what I preached the other day." And another person standing by says, "Well, you just don't know Donnie like I know him. He hadn't told a lie. But he's insinuated something that I'm something they don't know about." It wasn't an out-and-out lie like Miss Ann told about Miss Sylvia, but they insinuated something that created a false witness in somebody's heart. Therefore, my friend, it's just as grievous a lie as the one that Miss Ann had told about Miss Sylvia. What did he do? It divided fellowship. Now that's exactly what the Bible says that it does. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, it gives some things that are an abomination to God. What does that mean? It means it makes God sick. Do you remember whenever God said to the church at Laodicea, He said, "You're not hot and you're not cold, therefore I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." You know what that means? It means it makes God vomit. That's what happens when you get sick. You get a virus and you get sick, you begin to vomit. That's what this word abomination implies. It makes God so sick that He wants to throw up. Amen. You ever hear that? I've heard it from humans. Well, honey, that's the way that God expresses it in order to express His revulsion at certain things. And in Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him." Look here. "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief." Now look at verse 19. "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." divides the fellowship. Now, I want to tell you, you ain't going to divide this fellowship by telling truth. But, honey, you'll divide it in a minute by telling lies. And many a church has been destroyed and crumbled because of a bunch of gossiping lies that went around about somebody in the church. I pastored a church one time, and I'll never forget it. You could set your watch every day. This old lady would leave her place, and she'd start walking down the road. And she'd go over here to this other lady who wasn't going to church with us at the time, and she'd run her mouth about everybody and everything going on to church. Let Rena know that later on, then people came and joined the church with her. That's when I found out about it. You could set your watch by. Doing her best to destroy the church. Lying tongues divide the fellowship. Amen. We ought to talk good about the people of God. But not only that, we find that it destroys friendship. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. The Bible says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Look in chapter 17 and verse number 9. He said, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Boy, I like that. A man that covers a transgression. Somebody has failed. Somebody has done something wrong. And rather than this guy going out and telling the world and spouting and gossiping it to his neighbor, he covers it up and hides it. Just to protect this man's reputation, who was a brother, a friend. But then he says an individual that's the exact opposite. He that repeats a matter separates friends. Boy, you know what I saw so-and-so doing? Rather than saying, "God help us, our brother's in trouble. Because I think I saw him doing something that he really shouldn't ought to do. We sure need to pray about him and let this matter go no further." And let's pray. It divides fellowship and it destroys friendship. Now, the Apostle Paul knew something of this in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter number 16. Romans 16. Listen to what he said. Romans 16 and verse number 17. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. He repeated that to the church at Thessalonica. "For they are they such as serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." How do you deceive the hearts of the simple? You tell a lie. You tell a lie, and they believe it. Amen. They believe it. And so a lie is a very, very destructive thing. One lie can wipe out years of good work. Just like that. And destroy a man that's been a good and successful man in the ministry or anything else. You can tear him down just by one wrong lie. Destroys a soul. Amen. But now, let's think about the destiny of a liar. What does the Bible have to say about the liar? First of all, there's coming a day when an account will be required. There's coming a day when that man's going to have to give an account to God for what he's done and for what he said. Amen. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, "Every idle word that a man shall speak, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment." He didn't say that a man was going to give an account for every lie he told, even though that is true. He said every idle word, every word that you said, every word that you let run off your tongue just automatically that happened to damage the character and reputation of somebody else, my friend, you're going to give an account one day, and I am too. God help us. People got this idea that when they stand before the judgment bar of God that it's going to be a bubblegum popping time. Honey, it's going to be a time of very finite judgment in our lives. When you consider that every idle word that a man speaks, he's going to give an account thereof in that day. Does that mean that there's something wrong with humor? No. A word that's spoken in humor to cheer a heart. You look and read the book of Proverbs. My friend, cheer somebody. There ain't nothing wrong with humor.
something wrong with dirty humor. And whenever you've got to be dirty to be humorous, you ain't humorous no more. You're obscene. And so, neighbor, don't be afraid simply to say something because it might be an idle word. What it's talking about here is a word that a man might say in secret that he don't know anybody else is listening to. He'll give an account. You got any account to be given? Boy, I do. I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you I ain't. But I do. And I want to tell you something. If God's going to require it of me, He's going to require it of you. There's an account that's going to be required. But then there's also going to be an agonizing regret. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse number 7. Oh, what an agonizing day that's going to be. Revelation 21 and verse 7 says this: He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. Beast and the false prophet are already there. By the time this is given, the Bible says all liars are going to have their place in the lake of fire. Oh my God, preacher, I'm told a lie and I don't want to go to hell. I got good news for you. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness based upon repentance. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. Honey, I told my share of lies too. And I thank God that He forgave me. When you tell a lie against somebody, though, you ought to go back and try to fix it. But that's the only way you'll get it right. Don't tell a lie about me, and me will tell one about you, and then run off out here and think just because we're apart, I ain't never going to have to give an account for it, buddy, I will. And there'll never be any forgiveness or any right relationship with God until that's dealt with. No wonder we're so desolate in this world today in the churches. Revelation 21 and verse 27 says this: There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. But they that are written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 22 and verse 15, For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, I believe that whoremongers and idolaters and murderers ought to go to hell. Honey, a liar's going too. Just the same, God's eyes. Amen. I want to tell you, it's going to be an agonizing regret as an individual opens his eyes in hell. He looks back upon his life at all of the fraud and all of the slander and all of the lies that he told when he had opportunity to do something about it. I can think about that rich man in Luke 16 that died and went to hell. Immediately, my friend, whenever he looked across there and saw Abraham, he cried out for water. He said, if you can't give me any water, send somebody back. Send Lazarus back to my five brothers. For perhaps the first time in his life, it was time to get honest. Amen. It's too late, because all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Neighbor, what an awesome thing it is when we stand before that bar of God and He looks down at us and He requires of us every lie that we told about somebody, every insinuation that we told about somebody in order to simply tear down their reputation and to deceive them. That's the work of the devil. As a child of God, I don't want to be identified with his work. There's no need for a child of God to lie for two reasons. Number one, he doesn't need to fear anything. Amen. What is it that a child of God should fear? Apostle Paul, in the closing parts of Romans chapter 8, he said, What can separate us from the love of Christ? Neither height, nor depth, nor breadth, nor anything, he said, will ever separate us from the love of God. What have I got to worry about? Somebody kills the body. Jesus said, Don't worry about them that are able to kill the body. You worry about the one that's able to not only kill the body, but destroy the soul in hellfire. Amen. What have we got to fear? If we got nothing to fear, no reason to lie. All right, what have we got to gain by lying? We've already got everything. Already got everything. Well, preacher, I'm ready for it. Well, you'll get it in due time. Amen. Paul had a problem in the Corinthian church with people suing each other in the church.
Paul said, don't you fellas understand that we're going to judge angels? And if you were going to judge angels, can't you judge a little minor problem that two brethren have in the church? Amen. Don't you understand we got everything that we can possibly want? Oh, preacher, you don't know my fix, honey. No, you don't know your state. And unless you realize that, you wind up telling a lie because you fear or because you want to get gain somehow. Already got everything. I've already got more in this life than I deserve. And I thank God for it. God has blessed me so good. So what, man, why I want to sin against God and lie? Peter said, you ain't lied to men, you lied to God. Because you told God you was His child and you acted like the devil. Amen. So God wrote with His finger. And He said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we want to put that down here at the bottom into the degree of horrible sin. But my friend, it's right there with the rest of them. Amen. There's an account to be paid one day. We better be ready for it. We'd better live like children of God now and not like children of the devil. And learn it quick. Our Father, we love You. Thank You, dear God, that Your truth. We can believe every word that You say. Not have to doubt a thing. Now I pray, our Father, that You take each one of our tongues tonight. And God, You'd sanctify them. You'd set them exclusively, our Father, for building up, for edifying, not for tearing down. May we, our Father, be careful with our speech. Not, Father, to say something in order to tear somebody down, to hurt them or to destroy their reputation. May we, our Father, when we have a concern about somebody, not spread it abroad, but God, rather pray about them. Pray for them. Maybe even go talk with them. Maybe they're not even aware of what their life reflecting. God forbid that I be made judge over my brethren. But may our Father, may I be His helpmeet. Be somebody who loves Him. Be a caretaker for his soul. The Bible says, let a man know that he that converteth the sinner from his way, he's covered a multitude of sins. Amen. And God, I realize tonight that Your love was so great. It was so truthful that, Father, it covered me, washed away all of my sin. Yes, God, liar, needing forgiveness. Oh, God, how gracious You are tonight. How can we take that old man and drag him out of that grave and once again take up the old ways that we took up before we ever got saved? Let it not even be named among us as the children of God. But may we be straightforward and truthful and honest and loving in everything that we do. So that our Father, we don't divide our fellowship and we don't distort our friendship. But there's coming a day when we'll give an account to our God.